The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend, Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you doing today? When I came in at about 11 o'clock, you were already here and enjoying your lunch. You took an early lunch. Looked like you had a couple of Big Macs in the bag.
Well, I actually had a couple of hamburgers. Burger King was offering a deal.
Oh!
$4. I got two burgers, fries, and a Coke.
Well, you're all...
I'm stuffed.
You got a full stomach and ready to do it. Buckmaster Show on this Friday, the final Friday of June. It's June 29th, 2018. Hope you had a good week. The Buckmaster Show on Friday likes to thank our media sponsors. These are people who prominently display the logo for our program, making it very easy for our listeners to just click on the Buckmaster Show logo, and there you will find all of our podcasts, really going back to the first week of January 2011. So we're building up a historic archive there at buckmastershow.com. TucsonSentinel.com, thank you. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Tucson Media Group, which includes Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business. Thank you, all of you, for supporting us. With me in studio today is Sarah Garrett Gasson. She has been supporting the work I've been doing for many years. She's editorial page editor and columnist at the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, always a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
And on our live line, we have United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, represents District 1, which has to be one of the biggest sprawling districts in the United States. It's huge, from the northwest suburbs of Tucson all the way up to, like, past the Grand Canyon. I mean, it's huge. Anyway, Representative O'Halloran, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Hi, Bill. Hi, Sarah, and everybody else. And to give you an idea, I was over in Seoul, South Korea over Memorial Day, and I found out that my district is 20,000 square miles larger than South Korea.
Wow. That puts it in perspective.
Yes, it certainly does.
Let's begin, Representative O'Halloran, with really sad news in light of the newsroom massacre at the Annapolis, Maryland Capital Gazette. Should you and your colleagues join together to urge the president to stop all this inflammatory speech that's directed at journalists who have been labeled by the president as evil and enemies? At rallies, President Trump has garnered boos and laughs with taunts about so-called fake news and has called the press, quote, the enemy of the American people. Some of your thoughts, sir.
Well, I think it's uncalled for. The president of the United States has been part of the fabric of our country for a long time. It allows us to get some real indication of what's going on in our government and in our society, and I think it's a critical element of our nation and should not be. Everybody makes mistakes in life, and so sometimes there's a misprint or something, but in general, the press does an outstanding job, and the president should start to recognize that and should not, presidents, congresspeople, everybody in leadership, we need to be uniting people, not dividing people. And that's been my mantra when I'm out in the public. And the idea that something is fake, if you want to say it's fake, then prove it. But otherwise, don't start, and even to use the word fake, you can have a difference of opinion. But, you know, the idea that everybody's throwing fake news out there is just there's commentary out there that is not news. It's just that, commentary. But the news is the news, and you should be able to have a discussion on it. But this idea that I don't know if this stirred the person up or if the fact that he had some psychological problems. But either way, the fabric of our society should be one of bringing people together and not putting people down in because of political considerations.
And Sarah and Congressman, the president did issue a statement this morning. He said this attack shocked the conscience of our nation and filled our hearts with grief. quote, journalists like all Americans should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their job.
Yeah. So one of the first thoughts I had yesterday is that I wasn't surprised that something like this would happen, and that now we know what teachers feel like every day. The idea that the president of the United States would vilify the Fourth Estate, the press, the people who are, you might see them on CNN, people on CNN and NBC News and all the broadcast, but by and large, the vast number of journalists working in our country today work in local community news outlets, newspapers, radio, TV, online. We cover the things that matter in people's lives, like city council, education, school boards, and we are dedicated to public service. I think many people have a caricature of what they think the media, with a capital M, is, and that is so very far from the truth of the hardworking, dedicated, public-minded people who are journalists today in our country.
Congressman, would you like to add something, please?
Boy, I can't do much better than that. I have to say that I agree with everything that Sarah just mentioned. This gets down to the role that we play as leaders in making sure that our country is a safe country and that nobody is looked upon as a general sense to stereotype the press that has been going on is just not good for our country. It doesn't create a good environment, and it definitely lessens the impact of real news that is trying to be accomplished to our citizens. They feel that the messaging is just all over the place by the leadership, so that the press can't get its job done of informing the public of the important issues that our country, our communities face.
790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. Congressman Tom O'Halloran is with us on our live line. Congressman, is any kind of effort at immigration reform basically dead right now?
Well, my understanding is that the Republicans are going to try to put something together again next week. Time is of the essence now to try to get this resolved. Whether it's the DACA problem problem with separation at the border, or the continuing issue with immigration that has been going on for decades. We need to get it resolved. We need to do it in a way that both protects our country and recognizes the humane treatment of individuals and the needs of our country. So both from an economic standpoint and where these jobs are going to be coming from. So I'm hopeful that something will get done. Time is the enemy right now, and I think it's going to require that we try to get it done in a bipartisan way. We've had the second bill go down. Obviously, that was not a bipartisan bill, nor was the one before it. This should have been all resolved in 2013 when the Gang of Eight got the bill passed out of the Senate, a comprehensive immigration package. It never got a hearing in the House, even though it was a bipartisan a bill in the Senate. And that's just, at least we should take these issues up and let the American public know where we stand. I've been one for comprehensive immigration reform for a long time, and I think that's the only way to go for our country.
Sarah, would you like to join in?
I would. For the people who, some of the folks that I've talked to are saying, where were the protests in 2014 when there was an influx of unaccompanied minors, children, teenagers coming in from Central America? Where were the Democrats then? And as I recall, there was great concern and protest about the conditions people were being placed into. Can you talk a bit about that, about what is different in this situation than previously?
Well, I think that, first of all, there wasn't a lot of thought going into this whole process. It's obvious that, instead of, it looks like instead of having a database available, there was no database available. Instead of taking pictures of the individuals together at the border and before the separation and getting DNA samples, that appears to not have been done. And now the court system has been continuing to face a struggle. But all in all, we have to recognize that there's, there is a real issue in some of the Central American countries that people are trying to save their lives, and it's not going to be, you're not going to stop them from coming just because you say they shouldn't come. They're looking for their to try to save their families, and this is a great country, and whether it's Republicans or Democrats, we've always thought that the family is the nucleus of our society, and here we are breaking them up. I have a problem with that, and what happened in 2014, I think that any time you separate a family is wrong. And looking forward, we separate families here in America too, but we do it with the appropriate process to provide safety for a child, not to put a child in behind into a caged environment. And here we have a situation where that's actually happening. You can put as many things on the wall, but if your parents aren't around and the love isn't there, especially with these younger kids, this is just terrible. And again, there's some realities going on in Central America that we have to recognize.
All right. We need to take the break here. But Matthew, rather than hold you over during the break, let's put you on right now. And we'll take the break in a couple of more minutes. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, as a veteran who spent a lot of time working on Korea and has been there too and doing NEO operations, the largest fire drill in the world, my concern is geopolitically, as the president prepares to go to Russia, what is the Congress going to do to make sure that, unlike what happened in Korea, that he just doesn't go there and blow things up with NATO and the EU and things like that. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. We are trying to put as much pressure on that, both in a bipartisan process, to make sure that some of these agreements have to be looked at by Congress. I think in the past, Congress has has basically said to the executive branch, "You go ahead and do anything you want as it comes, whether it's tariffs or a national policy." Congress has a role in this, and we have to accept that role. We've accepted it from making sure that our military is prepared, but we also have questioned the president and the administration time and time again on how they've cut the State Department and their proposed cuts again coming up. And as General Mattis would say to you, because he said it, I'm on the Armed Services Committee, he said it time and time again to us. We're going to have more soldiers and more military if the State Department doesn't have the amount of funding that's needed to help stop wars instead of starting wars. And we have professionals that can do this very well to help the president along this route. I think we've been working on trying to get a reasonable approach to foreign policy for a while now, and we will continue, because I'm very concerned about off-the-cuff relationships with people like Russia, who have no respect for other people's borders, and obviously North Korea. We have to have discussions with them. I don't want to see war, but we have to have it in a way that reminds people that they have to prove that they aren't going to kill their own people, put 200,000 of their own people in jail, and also identify how they're going to live in the society that we of the entire world community.
That is a very important meeting that will be coming up in Helsinki, Finland, with Putin and President Trump. We'll take our break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, great place to go by right now and have a sandwich. The bread that sandwich will be served to you on came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Steve gets up very early, the owner there, he and his team of bakers. It's delicious. And, of course, have a brownie for dessert. That's my favorite. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and really all of our partners who support this program. They've been so great over the years and will continue to do so. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Former United States Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham will have his monthly look at military and foreign affairs. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Tom O'Halloran, Democrat, who does not have a primary opponent, but he has he definitely will have an opponent in the fall because there's four Republicans who are vying for the right to face off against you, Congressman O'Halloran. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. Sarah's the editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And about the election, when I interview, and I have interviewed the Republican candidates, Congressman, they all point to you and they say, he's too liberal for Congressional District 1. What do you say to them?
I would ask them to go and take a look at my voting record instead of political talk. I have a voting record that is one that takes into the concerns of Congressional District 1 first and foremost. And I think that by any measurement, my voting record is not a liberal voting record. It's a voting record to address the issues that District 1 faces and our nation faces.
Let's go to our live line. Richard has called us at 790-2040. He would like to speak with Congressman O'Halloran. Go ahead, Richard.
Sure, Congressman. By the way, you know, liberal is not a dirty word, and neither is conservative. It's the extremes that hurt us, right?
Okay.
I'm a firm believer that that's the case.
Uh-huh. But let me make a comment about our Russian policy. You know, I'm not a fan of Putin or Trump, but our policy is flawed. We have put our military on the Russian border, right, Congressman?
We've
been setting up these missile defense systems in Romania, claiming that they're to shoot down Iranian missiles. I mean, our policy is a bunch of lies. We needlessly are on their border. We should not be on the Russian border. We should have left all those nations along their border independent, and not involved with one side or the other, not put them in NATO. Or
okay.
If we put them in NATO, we shouldn't have put troops on their border because we are a direct threat to the Russians now.
All right, Richard. Thank you for your statement. Go ahead, Congressman.
Well, first of all, there's a number of military on the border. It's not a very large amount of military. They're there to train mostly and to have a tripwire. Those nations are a front door to Europe and our NATO countries. There are a number of NATO countries also within those countries. And it's Russia that has taken steps, whether it's in Ukraine or Crimea or now in Syria, that are detrimental to our allies. And we need to find ways to address that without war. And one of those ways is to not continue to put the face forward we will live by the protection of our allies. I'm definitely not in favor of putting a mass amount of troops back into Europe. We're trying to develop ways to address that problem with whether it's by sea or air, prepositioning. But we need to keep our commitments, and some of those commitments are to make sure there's no more intrusion into the front door of Europe.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Congressman, could you tell us a bit about the top priority in your district, something that is very local, something that is unique to your district that you've been working on? Because we talk about international issues and all of that, but really, congresspersons, you have constituents. What do you have to say about that?
Well, we do have constituents, and a lot of them don't have well-paying jobs. We also don't have a district that doesn't have the level of broadband to be able to compete in today's society, whether it's for our children's education or for the economic development of the region. We have healthcare issues throughout that we're trying to address. We've done a lot of that. We've put more money into broadband technology for rural areas. We've made sure that Medicaid, which almost every rural hospital depends on, is there because of the vast amount of people that are in need of that. And we've continuing to work with the different economic development groups within the district to make sure that we have a plan that moves forward for them and their the other sub-regions within the district.
All right. We had a Facebook question. This comes from David. David wonders, will President Trump be impeached if the Democrats regain the House in November?
Well, I don't know what evidence is going to come out of the investigation. I think everything involves the investigation. I know part of the political rhetoric out there is impeachment, but I also know that we don't have any evidence right now to be able to base that on. You can dislike policy, you can do this, you can do that, but elections have consequences. But if there's a finding that there's an indictment or something like that, then we're going to have to look at that issue, as I think everybody in Congress will look at it. But this idea that we're just trying to impeach the president and going to is just not true, and it's been borne out by the fact that any bills that have come through or resolutions have been voted down.
All right, Congressman Tom O'Halloran, we are out of time. I appreciate your time with us here on the program. What are your plans this summer?
Oh, I work. It's an election. It's an election year, so I'll be out in the district like I always have been, and I think we'll be in back in Washington even during some of August, which we usually aren't, which I think is shameful. We need to work more and get more hours in, so we don't have the excuse that we don't have enough time, and that we address some of these priorities for our country, and we need to do that by working a little bit harder.
All right, Congressman, thank you very much. Have a great weekend, sir.
Same, both of you, Bill and Sarah. Have a good one. Bye
thank
now.
You very much. Tom O'Halloran with us on the Buckmaster Show. By the way, our program repeats on 7 a.m., 7 to 8 on Saturday morning here on KVOI. We'll be joined by Jim Nintzel. Jim is the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. He's already with us on the live line. Jim, we'll get to you after we take our mid-show break. Sarah Garrett Gaston, the star, sticks around, and we'll talk after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the hour is our Friday Roundtable. We have Sarah Garrett Gasson here, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and we thank Sarah for joining me in the conversation with Congressman O'Halloran. And Jim Nintzel is with us on the live line. He's the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. Sarah and I, at the top of the program with Congressman O'Halloran, talked right off the bat about what I call the newsroom massacre at the Annapolis, Maryland-based Capital Gazette, a paper, by the way, that has been publishing in some form or other for 300 years, mm-hmm. which has got to be one of the longest lasting newspapers in the United States. Jim, some of your thoughts, this climate of anger and threats against the media, stuff like that certainly doesn't help, does it?
Well, you know, a lot of what the president says about enemies of the American people and whatnot, you know, I've got a thick skin, so it rolls off my back. But you know, it's hard to. I don't think journalists are special people. I mean, this is something that goes on in our schools now. It goes on at our congresses on our corner. We've seen it here in Tucson and in our nursing college. You know, it's just incredible the tolerance in this country for gun violence and the unwillingness of our leaders to try to do anything to try to keep weapons away, even from people with mental illnesses and pose a danger to themselves and to others. And it's very, very sad. I'm reading a piece right now, actually, written by one of our reporters here in the newsroom, Christopher Bowen, who actually interned at that newspaper, the Capitol, back 5 years ago, and knew one of the men who was killed yesterday, who was his mentor. And it's a heartbreaking piece to read.
Mm. Yeah, I was just looking at Gabrielle Giffords' statement. I'll just read a sentence from it, Sarah and Jim. We shouldn't have to live in a country where our lawmakers refuse to take any action to address this uniquely American crisis that is causing so much horror and heartbreak on what feels like a daily basis. Sarah?
I absolutely agree with her on that. I think that Jim is right that we have an amazing, and not in a good way, tolerance for gun violence in this country, and to not see it as a widespread crisis in the psyche of our country, I think is going to continue to be detrimental and hurt all of us in the long run. Hmm.
Jim, a final thought on that before I move on.
Just, you know, you literally have lawmakers who had a man walk and open fire on them, and yet they don't think anything needs to be done, and that's simply astonishing to me.
Jim, in your long-running column, The Skinny, and I think you've been doing The Skinny since, what, 1990 maybe?
It goes back a ways. It's feeling a little creaky, for sure. A little back pain.
I liked what you were kind of getting into, the bond deal that's coming up. County voters will be asked to approve road bonds to fix streets, and Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry has one last card to play to fix Pima County streets. And I guess, Jim, this last card to play is the $430 million bond effort. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've watched as the gas tax revenue has decreased, even as our need, well, hasn't decreased, but it certainly hasn't kept up with inflation, and our needs have increased, and money's been swiped out of there to pay for highway patrolmen, and there's just so many so few resources left at this point. You know, they've tried to get permission from the state to ask voters to do a half-cent sales tax, and that's been knocked down. They've tried to get approval from the board itself to institute a half-cent sales tax, and of course that got shot down. So at this point, what do you have left? And it's going back to the bonds, and of course that uses up your bonding capacity to do anything else for the community. But then again, you probably didn't have much hope of getting something passed on that front anyway, judging from what happened with the bonds in 2015. So, you know, it ain't the best way to go about doing this, but I don't see another route in the near future. So you might as well ask voters if they're really ready to do this. And the good thing is, you know, as they are retiring other bonds, they can sell these. So it's your property tax rates don't necessarily need to go up in order to accomplish this. You know, your bill may go up depending on what happens with your property values, but they have the capacity to do this and an ability to do it without raising the rates. I think it's the best shot we have at this point.
Sarah, well, it's interesting to see what the opposition will mount on this. Nally Miller, Pima County Supervisor, is definitely, of course, saying no to this, and she's already said that her bond buster will be ready to address all of these. His name slips my mind right now. The gentleman she has used in the past to shoot down the bonds. But anyway, what do you think the argument's going to be against this?
I think the only argument that we'll hear that will have any sort of staying power is just simply no new taxes. Mm-hmm. It's just an anti-tax, government sort of theory, mystery belief that there is somehow extra money in the budget already that can be used to pay for this, which is the same argument we've heard year after year after year after year after year. And just the refusal to understand that if you want something done, sometimes you have to ask people to pay for it because we all use the roads. And it makes sense from that point of view. But I do think there are people, and I think Allie Miller is one of them, that just no tax is acceptable no matter how desperately needed or deserved.
She said she had her own plan, Jim, didn't she, at the board meeting?
Yeah, she dropped her alternative budget on the board on the morning of the budget vote, and it was not a particularly sophisticated budget proposal, and did not receive a whole lot of support from her colleagues, but that's to be pretty much to be expected.
And of course, the county will have their own bond issue they'll be asking voters about, and then the city of Tucson will have a parks bond of over $200 million. That's going to be interesting. I think people want to see their parks upgraded and improved. After all, we had Councilman Cunningham on the program yesterday saying most of our parks are like at least 15 to 20 years beyond getting a real good makeover. These parks, Sarah, many of them were designed right after World War II, and they haven't had a lot of upgrades.
No, they haven't. I think parks is another thing that people use. Not everyone uses our parks. People, it's not like roads where every single person uses them. I think parks are something that voters can get behind, but I also think aren't we already paying for this? There should be money somewhere. I'm paying enough. No tax kind of argument will be made against this as well.
What do you think, Jim, on the parks?
Well, the city's had a pretty good run. You know, they persuaded voters to approve some bonds for street repair. They've convinced voters to approve a temporary sales tax for road repairs. So they're coming off a couple of wins there. Now they're turning to, and public safety, of course, was part of that sales tax that they asked voters to pass. Now they're going after the other thing that we really need some attention to, because, as you pointed out, a lot of neglect towards our parks, and you know they are certainly important for a lot of families to have a place to take the kid and get out of the house and enjoy a little green space or playgrounds or what have you. So you know it's a big ask at a time when you're already, especially now that the county is coming with this road one. So we'll see what kind of campaigns come out in favor of these things and how much folks are willing to invest in the campaigns and where things go from there.
Jim, I'm intrigued by this Pima County's youngest candidate for Justice of the Peace, Keith B. Jr. How old is he?
He's 20. We had to actually run a correction on that. We've been reporting that he was 21 based on what we knew. It's been very difficult to track down Keith B. Jr. We're starting to get a little worried about him. We've reached out on numerous occasions and you know, asked him. He doesn't seem to have any contact information on the papers he's filed. But, of course, his dad is already a justice of the peace. And he has the same name as his dad, and name ID is important in these low-level races. It almost appears as though he's trying to slip in on his dad's reputation, and I'm sure he would counter that. And we would love to speak to him about, you know, his qualifications as a 20-year-old to be on the Pima County bench and have this $100,000 a year job. But he's very elusive. Our reporter did reach out to Keith B. Senior on the bench, and Keith said he couldn't pass along a message to his son because that would be interfering with a primary and a violation of his tenets as a judge. But
wow,
weird. Sticking to it, yeah. Well, I'm just glad to know that he didn't have any, you know, part in talking with his son about running for this office. It's amazing how this kid came up with this all on his own. So we're still waiting to hear back from him. You know, we'll keep reaching out to him each week in the paper and encouraging him to contact us. And
well,
we hope it's not just some stealth campaign.
I have this obvious question. He's 20 years old. Is there a requirement that you have to be 21 to run for Justice of the Peace? Or, I mean, could a 10-year-old run? Or
that's a great question.
I don't know.
He does have a birthday next month, so he'll be 21.
Okay.
So. But, you know, the Justice of Peace elected position, you don't need any background in law or anything else. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting throwback to the territorial days. And we could have a Doogie Howser on the bench, I guess, is what it really comes down to.
I do think that Doogie Howser would have called you back, though.
Doogie probably would have given us a call.
The hottest issue right now in the city of Tucson, at least in the Midtown area, is what to do with the sanctuary there on Country Club, the former monastery. Is that's the right word, right,
yeah,
Sarah?
The Benedictine Monastery.
Thank you very much. What do you think is going to happen, Jim? What are your thoughts?
You know, I didn't hear what happened at that meeting there last night. I know we sent a reporter over there. I'm still waiting to find out exactly what happened with last night's meeting, so I'm a little behind on the latest there. But
the Star had a piece this morning.
Yeah, a big turnout. Many people opposed and very concerned. I think it was. I don't think any major decisions were made. It was a public forum.
Well.
I think it really comes down to a story at this point, and from what I had understood, at least as of yesterday, they were just hoping they'd bring down one more story. And, you know, this is a beautiful Midtown building designed, I think, by Roy Place, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yes.
And just absolutely gorgeous architecture. I drive by it each day as I take my kids to school, and we always say hi to the angels looking out at us. And, you know, the idea is to keep the building as it is, but then build these enormous towers next to it. And I think, you know, there's just a lot of folks who think that it's a little too much and it's going to dwarf the architecture of the building. And we'll see what happens, but it's all part of, you know, we're seeing a lot of infill development these days, and some of it can be good and some of it can be bad, and, you know, architectural style matters, I think.
Yeah, infill really is kind of going to be the story, I think, over the next 5 years for the city of Tucson and the developments, don't you?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. You know, we've got you know, all the stuff happening along Fourth Avenue and in the downtown area, and now at Speedway and Campbell and elsewhere. So, you know, it's appropriate in some places. It's quite appropriate, and in other cases, it's not. And, you know, it's a judgment call in each case.
Sarah, what's coming up in the Sunday paper and the Arizona Daily Star?
We have a very interesting piece by retired Judge Charles Sabalos, who is writing about Operation Streamline and the questions he has about how his former colleagues can participate in such a thing. So that's very interesting. And we're also going to be running several columns by one of the gentlemen, the editors, Rob Hyacin, who was murdered at the Capital Gazette. He was an incredibly good and touching writer, and so we're going to be running some of his work.
And Jim, what's going on at the Weekly?
Oh, you know, we've got our big 4th of July early deadline, so we're pumping away at the issue here. Margaret Regan's going to have a look at the new director of the Center for Creative Photography, and I think we're going to be rolling out our best of nominees this week, so big excitement for the readers to participate in a little democracy there.
Center of Creative Photography's had sort of a checkered past. They had stability early on, of course. Former UA president John Schaefer, creator of Center of Creative Photography, with the Ansel Adams collection and all these iconic collections. But Sarah and Jim, over the last couple of years, they've not had a lot of stability at the top over there, have they?
They've had a lot of change, and I think they've had a kind of an internal dispute about whether the mission should be celebrating the older photographers who are in their archives,
right,
or whether they should be looking at kind of the new, what's going on the frontiers of photography. And they've, the new director has kind of bridged that a little bit by pairing up old masters with new photographers in the new heritage gallery there. That's going to be interesting to watch as that develops.
That's very good. A good compromise, I think, kind of showing certainly what you've got in your archives, which are amazing, with some new stuff.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of these, it's kind of tucked in on the U of A campus, and it's something that I think Tucsonans could do well by themselves to go check it out and look at their exhibits. It's really an amazing resource.
And as they say, it's cool inside.
Yes, it is. Yes.
I remember growing up in Chicagoland, and we'd always be looking for that sign in the summertime. It's cool inside.
Free AC. Yep.
All right. Jim Nintzel, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, thank you both very much. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up, we have our Weekend Watch with Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business. Matt is the food and beverage columnist for that publication, and he also does our Weekend Watch right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Viral Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Viral Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viral Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Here's the good news. It's 15 degrees cooler over there because of their elevation than Tucson. So if you want to cool off this weekend, 3-hour road trip to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico certainly should be a consideration. Let's go now to the live line and Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, a man who is always searching for that perfect meal and beverage. Hello, sir.
Well, good Friday afternoon, Bill. Nice to talk with you again.
Always a pleasure. What's going on over at Saguaro Corners? What's going on at the Corners this weekend?
Well, I'm thinking it's a great day for a cool happy hour. If you can't miss it after Silver City today, you could still head east and stop off at Saguaro Corners on Old Spanish Trail today. I swear it's at least a degree or two cooler out there in the Rincon Valley.
And it is and it is on the way to the freeway to get on to go over to Silver City.
It sure is. You know, give yourself a designated driver and enjoy up to 25 craft beers on tap. You're bound to find one that you like. And while you're there, you got to try what they call their Wings of Awesomeness. Now, these babies are beer brined and lightly smoked. Certainly not your average chicken wing, which will pair great with those beers. Head east for happy hour today at Saguaro Corners, a local landmark since 1956.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of heritage out there. Who's our newest Iron Chef in town?
Yeah, you know what? Last Saturday was the big day, and reigning Iron Chef of Tucson, Travis Peters, was defending his belt against challenger Brian Smith of Maynard's, and it was Brian who walked away the victor as Tucson's newly crowned Iron Chef. So I say, check out Maynard's this weekend to see what it is about Brian's cuisine that won over the judges, and he has a brand new summer menu that just hit, so this is the perfect time. There's even a new dish on his menu called Summer Spaghetti with sugar snap peas and smoked eggplant. It's getting rave reviews. Go ahead and make Maynard's part of your weekend plan.
Of course, the 4th of July is synonymous with a great hot dog.
And we're only 5 days away. And if you're like me, you have hot dogs on your mind, why not head to Mutt's Premium Hot Dogs on University Boulevard this weekend to practice your dog game before the big day. You'll get some great ideas for your star-spangled picnics while you taste some of their gourmet hot dogs. Plus, they sell their wieners and sausages and bratwursts in bulk to make your Independence Day job a little easier. You know, Mutt's is one of my go-to digs for dogs, and for me, it's all about the Frank on the 4th. Have you had enough alliteration, Bill?
There it goes. Yeah, it's a great idea, kind of a pre-hot dog, a pre-4th of July hot dog celebration. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. Have a great Independence Day, Matt Russell. Thank you, sir.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. I want to say thank you to my longtime friend and assistant, Rosemary Brandt. Rose makes sure that all of the podcasts are put up in a very timely manner. She usually gets them up within about an hour or so to 2 hours after the conclusion of our program. So we've got all of the podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Tom Fairbanks, thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure working with you on the other side of the glass. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Ray Allen, KVOI operations manager, is in Tom's chair Monday through Thursday, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. The whole team here at KVOI do such a great job. Thanks to all of them, and of course all of us here. Hope you have a wonderful Independence Day. Have a great weekend. Until that time, have a good one.